Today is the 10th October 2021, number 10. It's a Sunday. So we'll be continuing from this book, third lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. We are at page 63, almost the end, four more pages to go. Then after that, we have this new book, which just came out from the print. I think Sister Padmasuri got it from the printer. Our latest book, Lesson 55, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yi Jing, dated 24th June 2021. We may go to this book. So after that, we will continue from here. Okay. Then we shall continue from page 63 of this book. Third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Even after working hard all day, the master, here they are referring to the fifth patriarch, didn't rest. Instead of sleeping, he sat in meditation until the body and mind in powerful samadhi. Master Hong Ren, or the fifth patriarch, lived in the woods of Ping Mao Mountain, slightly east of Double Peak Mountain. So his teaching is called East Mountain Dhammador. Once like his master, the fourth patriarch, he saw a horde of bandits besieging a nearby city. Their leader, a Mongol named Kerta Hanalu, and his follower had so tightly cut off the communication that even the birds can't fly in and out. The fifth patriarch went down to Ping Mao Mountain towards the city. When the bandits saw him, they were terrified, for they saw not only the patriarch, but also a reticule of golden armored Vajra King Bodhisattva armed with jewels, weapons, manifesting awesome virtue and brightness. The bandits retreated, their besiege broken. How was the great master able to command this Vajra King Bodhisattvas? The fifth patriarch had cultivated and he recited the Surangama Mantra. The Surangama Mantra said that if you are constantly mindful of the Surangama Mantra, 84,000 Vajra store Bodhisattva will protect you from all danger. In the fifth year of the Xianqing reign of the Tang Dynasty, 680, the emperor invited Great Master Hong Ren to the palace. The master declined the invitation. The emperor sent a second invitation, which the master also declined. Finally, the emperor sent a variety of gifts, including rare medicinal herbs, as well as offering to the great master, the fifth patriarch. In the fifth year of the Hongxiang reign of the Tang Dynasty, 674 AD, the fifth patriarch said to his disciple, Master Xuan Qi, build me a stupa, I am going to leave. In the second month, on the 14th day, he asked, is the stupa ready? Master Xuan Qi replied that it was. The patriarch said, for many years I have taught living beings. I have taken across those whom I must take across, and have transmitted my Dhamma to Hui Neng, the sixth patriarch. Now in addition, you then should become Dhamma host and establish Bohi Mendas to preserve and spread the teaching among living beings. The 10 he addressed were Dhamma Master Shen Xiu, Qi Xian, Yi Fang, Si De, Xuan Ci, Lao An, Ba Zhu, Hui Seng, and Xuan Yao, and also Upasaka Liu Zhu Pu, who had dealt with correspondence and accounting. The three patriarchs sent each of these 10 people to different places to teach and transform living beings. Shortly thereafter, he sat very still and his energy dispersed as he entered Nirvana. Yes, the three patriarchs must have realized Parinirvana. So this was the history behind. During the 24 years of his life, the fifth patriarch Hongren had accepted many disciples and had transmitted the Dhamma to the great master Hui Meng. So now we shall enter the Platform Sutra proper. The history of this first five patriarchs is just for your information. They are not so important. The messages behind, you have to develop the understanding. All bodhisattvas and patriarchs, when they come, not everyone has a good life. So this is a part you have to realize. So I ask the question that day, do you realize that it depends on the period and timing and how the condition then unfolds? But whatever it is, when you start to understand that this form and mind is not you, then you will be able to do things that are out of the ordinary. And many things where you cannot understand, you tend to use the thought process to try to understand it. The thought will make it worse. A lot of people used to tell me that this mind and our patriarchs, they were great beings. I used to hear this in the early days. They came and they suffered so much. And the way they died doesn't sound right. Bodhidharma was poisoned so many times. The second patriarch was executed. The third patriarch hanged himself. And the fourth patriarch had a stupa built for him. They actually had very tough condition at the time. So a lot of them could not understand. And they commented, hey, you are a patriarch. Why must you die that way or like that? The reason being, they already understood that this form and mind was not what it is or what it was. The condition was such, it had to be such. They would have the understanding, especially the second patriarch. He was full of anger, remember? He was very arrogant. But because of the king of death, Yama, he was taught a lesson that he actually changed. Then when he received the Dhamma, which he understood, he didn't want to react like before and do all those foolish things anymore. Because no point. That's why he listened to Bodhidharma and went into hiding for 40 years. Then when he came out again, he teach. By then, he was already 80 years old. And in order not to offend those people and create unnecessary purging among his disciples, he would rather admit that he was a freak. Because when he admit he was a freak, they would only execute him. The disciple will be spared. Otherwise, they would keep on purging all those linked to him, and then they would make sure all were rooted out, because the Chinese has this very, very bad culture or evil culture. When the king or emperor wants to finish you off, they must root out all the roots of the grass. Means the Mandarin say, 斩草除根, means all roots, all followers, everything they would remove. So you have to understand it's because of that culture, and they are with that type of mentality. Later, many emperors actually wanted the patriarch to visit them, but the patriarch knew no point, because not all the emperor had the Dhamma understanding. And what they wanted was something else. That's why thus far, none of the patriarchs went to them, except Bodhidharma, who went for a while. that when the emperor couldn't understand his teaching, he left. With this, we will stop here and we will continue the rest in our next class. The next topic is a general introduction edited by Bhikkhu Fahai of the Tang Dynasty. This topic is to introduce the six patriarch master meaning. Go back and read it up. Then I ask, do you all have any question? No question? So end of Dhamma session. So that's how we end the third lesson of the six patriarch platform sutra. So these are introductory lessons that Master Xuanhua in his commentary has gone through with us to allow us to have a better understanding of what that lineage is all about. The first patriarch of China start with Bodhidharma, the 28th patriarch from India. So there is a continuation. Then after that, how he passed on to the second patriarch of China, Hui Ke. And from Hui Ke to the third, to the fourth, then to the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren. And Hui Neng, the sixth patriarch, came about. That's how the history was recorded. So this will allow us to have a good understanding of what this patriarch's life is all about. So it's not always smooth sailing and beautiful life after becoming patriarch. In fact, you look back, even until Master Xuanhua, even the teacher Xu Yun Longzang before Master Xuanhua, all these patriarchs, they have difficult, tough life. There were many moments where you can see from the recorded teachings or history, they went through a lot of tough period, hardship too, especially Xu Yun. He was robbed many times, the temple that he helped to take care, and abused by bandits and all those things. Even Bodhidharma, when he first came over from China, he also faced a tough time. And later on, Xuanhua himself too, before he went over to the West, America, he was also, I think people attempted poison. And he has to go through very tough tests. So all these are various introductory teachings that we can reflect upon and understand, because patriarchs are different. They have great wisdom when they are taught the teaching mind to mind seal when they receive them. That's why after that they behave differently. They are no longer attached to their former mind. They just echo and flow and do what is best at that time for their disciple, for the country, and for the people. So we will stop here before we continue the fourth lesson. So today, as I promised you all just now, we will revert to this new book, Lesson 55 of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yi Jing. This transcript book was based on a talk later, 24th of June 2021. You can see it on the screen. And the book was sent for printing and we just received it. So we will go through this one. Okay, I will read to you the introduction, acknowledgement. Okay, the content book first. We have the preface, then acknowledgement. Then we have the Lesson 55 of the Sutra Infinite Meaning. We start off with the pre-puja, where we are thought awareness based meditation. Then 3.2 is post meditation Dhamma sharing. First topic is on the empty nature of existence, five aggregates of form and mind. Next, at the third verse preview, mind must have no dwelling, penetrative understanding, six patriots poem, direct pointing to the true mind. Thought based knowledge is not wisdom. Then clarity of the two mind, the true mind and the mundane mind. Then finally, is all this a part of cultivation. Okay. The bio data is just for familiarity sake. You can read it on your own too. So this one is for the benefit of those who are new, who may not know my bio data. Biodata of Brother Teo. Brother Teo graduated from University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner and meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death, and all mental suffering. With this understanding, it is hoped that they can become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser, so that they can be a blessing to all. He gives Dhamma talk and hosts meditation classes and retreat and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places that invite him. For more detail of Brother Teo's Dhamma activity and his Kaya Mitra Shiv grouping, please log on to the Dhamma website at broteo.com. Then there's a preface. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of the enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha's teaching or Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the transcript from the recording of the lesson 55 of this sutra of the meaning Dhamma class dated 24th June 2021, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting or detracting from the essence of the talk. It is hoped that readers can accordingly adjust themselves to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript note. To listen to the recording audio file, you can log on to our website under repository of Dhamma material, or Google Bhotios Kaya Mitra repository of Dhamma material to view them. Then there's an acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript notes be shared with those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kaya Mitra who have donated and helped in the transcription, formatting, proofreading, publishing, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Lim Eng Bi, Dr. Jayan Tha, Sister Han Po Cheng, and Sister Chu Po Lian, who have volunteered and taken the initiative to help prepare the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, May all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and dangers. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all the Dharma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble aspiration or wishes soon as possible. With metta always. Okay, we will go to the section 3, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, lesson 55. Pre-puja sharing. So there is some note. The black color is what my sharing is. So my sharing is to expand on the deep meanings of the sutra. Then blue underline is the original text of the book. And light blue in italic, Rasong sharing in Mandarin and English. Okay. Awareness-based meditation. So initially is my greeting. A very good afternoon to all, or a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 24th June 2021, Thursday class. We will continue with our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings from the adapter verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, via page 277. As usual, we will have our half an hour awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the light and we will proceed. And you can proceed with your meditation. Just relax the body and mind and maintain some form of attention. To develop this awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand. What we need to do is to silence our mind. Relax the body and mind, and just maintain awareness until the awareness nature becomes very stable in between whatever that arises. Let it arise. It can be a thought, it can be sankhara activity, it can be whatever form of mind activity, tactile or consciousness. When they arise, just let it be aware, finish. Aware, finish. Do not continue to create thinking. Do not follow whatever phenomena or activity that arise. Any mind state that arise, especially the aggregates of mind, Vedana Sanya Sankara Vinyana. As for the movement of thought, you just relax, maintain awareness, and silence everything to just observe them. Their understanding will arise on its own. When developing this awareness-based meditation, just aware. Do not try to know. Do not try to do anything so that we can realize, so that you can realize your true mind, your silent mind. When your awareness nature stabilizes, all the sankhara activity, thought processes will cease. When all sankhara activity and thought processes cease, that is your true mind, your silent mind, the awareness nature within. That one is the unconditioned, unborn. When you are just aware, that is your true mind, your meditative mind, that can meditate and insight into phenomena. That can awaken and develop the true understanding. That nature can see an insight into phenomena, can awaken, can observe to understand what is going on within the form of mind. Through all this observation and the awakening, it can come to, through all this observation and awakening, it can come to understand should be understand profoundly. Mm. Who are you and what are you? We call that self-discovery or self-knowledge. Through all this understanding, we will have a clear understanding of what this form and mind is all about, what the human being is all about, and what is it that is beyond this form and mind, the nature within. Once we can establish all this with clarity and understanding, we will clearly comprehend the Buddha's teaching and Buddha Dhamma. True Buddha Dhamma can only arise when you are able to meditate with your silent mind, your true mind. So remember, the first of the four support for awareness-based meditation. The first support is relax into every mind state that arises. Body and mind, relax. Then second support, silent everything to maintain awareness. Third support is to maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Of course, lastly is trust. Trust your own nature to meditate. With this, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes and you all can continue with your meditation. After the alarm triggers, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Use those mind states to live life, to develop daily mindfulness, to cultivate your daily religious routine. This is how you can maintain your faith, your diligence, and your sincerity to progress along the path of Dhamma. And the meditation go on. And after 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation, I ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding. Okay. Post-meditation Dhamma sharing. Okay. You all can be seated. We shall continue from where we stopped. We are at page 277 at the adapter verse of this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning. The teaching is very beautiful because all these teachings are from the adapter verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. I will read on. The Dhamma is like water, which can wash away defilement. Where the water comes from a well, a pond, a stream, a river, a brook, a channel, or the great ocean, it can cleanse. The Dhamma water that washes away defilement is also the same, though varying in appearance. The nature of water is the same. So too is the nature of Dhamma. Though the appearances of water differ, all water can still cleanse. Similarly, Dhamma water can wash away afflictions and habitual tendency. Thus, the Buddha turned the Dhamma wheel on the Four Noble Truths 3 times and taught that all things have always been empty and still. Empty nature existence. So this is very profound teaching. The phenomenal world within the existential world is not what you think. Because basically, their universal characteristic is empty and still. That is our true nature. But from there, everything arises. That is why they can arise. Sorry. That is why when they arise, all this phenomenal world of consciousness, they can deceive and delude our mundane mind. So living being becomes entangled because they do not have the clarity of mind to see all this clearly, to understand what is going on. They fail to understand creation. How does creation comes to be? They are all dependent, originating, phenomenal. Condition arising, cause of phenomenon. Their universal characteristic is impermanent. That is why it is not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, he know you, he know me. If you attach and cling, or one thinks your way, which is not in accordance with nature's way, suffering will be the result, because it's impermanent. That is why it is anatta, non-self, empty, no reality. Empty here does not mean there is nothing. Empty here means there are things happening within life and existence, but ultimately it is empty, empty nature or existence. Ultimately, it is empty, no reality, because he know you and he know me. Whatever happens, they are just conditioned, arising phenomena, just dependent originating. It arises when there are conditions. It sustains itself when conditions continue to support it, and when conditions cease to be, it cease to be. Then after that, what happened? No more, gone, dead and gone, right? Hence, no reality at all. That's why it is empty. There is a saying in Mahayana Buddhism, which is very good. It said, when you come to this existential world, this universe, we came empty-handed. Then when we leave this universe, when our form and mind disperse, we also live without anything, without taking anything. That's why the saying, La ye kong, qi ye kong. That's why you come empty, you go empty. Then why do living being through delusion grieve over emptiness in between? So this is a very beautiful saying. The Mandarin version you can understand is better because the way it is expressed brings out the meaning. When I was young, I heard this saying before in one of the swordsmanship cinema show. There was a very powerful and violent elderly swordsman trapped by three senior monks down in the chamber of the Shaolin temple. The senior monk were chanting this Mahayana Sutta to tame the elderly swordsman. Then I came across this above verses. Every day they were chanting this Mahayana Sutra to him to develop the understanding to change. They kept on chanting, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, namo si zu he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei na. Which means when you come empty. And when you leave or go, you also leave or go empty. Then in between while living life, why do you grieve over emptiness? This is real delusion, isn't it? After hearing this chanting for some time, the swordsman developed wisdom and changed for the better. So do not cling on to thing, hold on to thing. Ultimately, the form and mind, or the form, which is a physical body, goes away on nature. Old age, sickness, and death are nature's phenomena. These are the reality of life and existence within the conditioned world. You need to experience them. You need to understand their reality so that we are not deceived by them. So that we will not deludedly cling and hold on to the form and mind, believing that it is what we are. If we do that, then it is self-delusion. That is the reason why the Buddha, in his final summary of the First Noble Truth, said, in short, all of suffering arises because of self-delusion. When living beings deludedly cling, grasp, and attach to the five aggregates of form and mind, it will become grasping aggregate that will condition suffering. These upadana khandas, grasping aggregate, are suffering. When you have developed the wisdom, the clear understanding, after having insight into phenomena, to clearly awaken to its three universal characteristics, then all this will become truly clear to you. Self-knowledge becomes truly clear. Then you will come to understand, who are you? What are you? What is this form and mind all about? What is the human being all about? When we investigate, what is this human being as taught by the Buddha, we can develop clear understanding. He subdivided the human being into the five aggregates of form and mind. Okay, we go on to the five aggregates of form and mind. First aspect is as a human being. As a human being, we have a physical body, which is the form aggregate, the physical rupa. And we have the consciousness trapped inside. In this consciousness, there are four more aggregates of mind. That mind, the mundane mind, or thought consciousness, can feel, perceive, arises activity of mind, sankhara activities, and become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, etc. So we have the feeling aggregate, which is Vedana. Then Sanya, which is perception. Then mental activity, which is Sankara. And the consciousness, which is Vijnana aggregates. Whatever the mind can do, all its mental movement and activity is the content of consciousness. And this content of consciousness is basically the Sankara aggregate. Feeling and perception are also part of the Sankara aggregate. Our mind can become emotional, can develop mental states, mental intention, formation or images, etc. It can also plan, scheme, dream, create thoughts, etc. All these are content of consciousness. And finally, the mind can also become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel, and think. So these are the four aggregates of mind. And together with the physical aggregate, form aggregate, we have the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. The first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is as a human being. And according to the Buddha, these five aggregates of form and mind are impermanent. They go the way of nature. Because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent changing entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to. We are saying, this is me, this is I, and therefore this can be mine. And I read again. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to. We are saying, this is me, this is I, and therefore I can own all these things. And all this can be mine. This is sakkayadity, self-delusion. So please, do wake up. This form and mind are just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to go through the karmic process, to fulfill our vows and experience whatever we want to experience while living in this existential world. So do make full use of it, but do not be deluded by it. This form and mind are for us to use. Understand this and see this clearly, then you will understand the secret of life and you will awaken. Then you will have no more problem, no more suffering. So meditation is to uncover this secret. When you silence your mind, maintain mindfulness and awareness, you can see them clearly. Then we come to the second aspect. of the five aggregates of form and mind. The second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, you can see them when you are mindful and aware. That's why, provided you are mindful and aware, you can see them. Because every moment when we are conscious, when we live life, we need to manifest consciousness. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, and tactile feeling or thought process, this mundane consciousness will arise. When they arise, if you are mindful and aware, you can see the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind very clearly. We know we need a mind, we need sense data to arise consciousness. Upon contact, of course, together with the sense data, the respective sense door consciousness arise. But when we are mindful and aware amidst life, the meditation then, But when we are mindful and aware amidst life in meditation, then we can see all this arising clearly. That is how it happened, following the dependent origination process, the dwelling, or the Paticchasamuppada teaching as taught by the Buddha. This is very profound and incredibly beautiful. So when you see the aggregates of mind, having these four abilities of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana, then you will also come to understand how the external phenomena will enter the mind through the aggregates of perception. The aggregates of perception brings the external form into the mind. So when these five come together, we call it the thought. This is what the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is all about. It's just a thought. The consciousness aggregate is the pure consciousness, or what we call the receptacle, before the content of consciousness is input into it to form the thought. Our true mind is initially just spacious awareness without a center that can create and manifest consciousness when there is contact between sense basis, sense data, and the true mind. Take, for example, seeing consciousness, seeing the Buddha image. When we perceive something, can be the Buddha Rupang or anything else through our seeing, what happened? We shrink our spacious awareness into a small limited content, perceive the Buddha Rupang, then we input the content of consciousness, thereby forming a thought. Reason why J. Krishnamurti said, thought is limited and egoic. If you are mindful and aware, you can see and understand all this. That's why if you grasp and cling onto this thought, the five mental aggregates, it becomes grasping aggregate. The Buddha called it Sakkayaditti, self-delusion. This is how you suffer. This is how you become very fearful, unhappy. You think you exist. You think you are real. That is the true Dhamma. So silence your mind. Develop mindfulness to understand all this, to observe all this, leading to self-knowledge and self-investigation. When you look within, you are aware. Then you can come to understand how you function as a human being and how the mundane mind arises and create all these things. That is why the Buddha said our mundane mind is the fallen of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. The Buddha called this the mano. Mano is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And this is not the real mind, not the true mind. There is another nature within us which is the unconditionally unborn, that has the awareness nature. But it is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. That's why it is not easy to develop the understanding. It is not a clear-cut thing. To realize the true mind, the true nature, is also not easy. You need to meditate to understand clearly. I read again. To realize the true mind, the true nature, is not easy. You need to meditate. You need to completely silence your mind until no thought, no movement, no activity, until everything returns to its original state and becomes still and tranquil with clarity within. Just aware that is. This demands a lot of patience. So this is the summary of what you need to understand. Hopefully this can help you all to develop the awakening. We shall go back to the adapter bus. We will read from there, page 277. This adapter bus did not explain all the above. That is the reason why I must explain all this to you, so that you all may have deeper understanding. Sorry, I read again. We will read from there, page 277. This adapter verse did not explain all the above. That is the reason why I must explain all this to you all, so that you all may understand the deep meaning and why the Sutra of Infinite Meaning said, basically, when the Buddha turns the Dharma wheel of the Four Noble Truths three times, he taught living beings that all things have always been empty and still. To understand this is not easy, because it is a very profound teaching. There is a reason why I need to explain this to you all through using basic essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. Just now, what I have shared is very complete. So hopefully, after the recording comes out, you all can listen to it to develop a clear understanding, then meditate to realize it. You will become very beautiful. Then my nature will rejoice and salute to you. Okay, now we will start reading from the commentaries. Whether the water is from the well, a pond, or a river, the nature of water is the same. It can wash away filth and dirt. People's true nature is inherently pure. That is very true. However, as it becomes tainted by habitual tendencies, well, this is how delusion sets in until it becomes so habitual. This true nature becomes covered and defiled. It means clouded and defiled. This word defiled used here if you cannot understand, you may think that nature can become defiled. No. That nature can only be obscure or clouded, but it cannot be defiled. Just like the clouds, when they are there, you cannot see the sun's ray, or the sun's ray cannot shine forth. That's why it is clouded or obscure, like the cloud. But the sun's ray is always there. That nature is always there, ever shining, ever radiating. That nature is undefiled. The word defiled is meant for the mundane mind. The mundane mind, through its own delusion, security gets defiled. When it gets defiled, means it has the wrong view that can condition evil roots to arise, thereby making them evil. Because the evil roots are the roots of all evil. When you have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you become evil. The former mind become evil. The mundane mind become evil. That's why the Buddha said, mind is foreign to all things, mind is chief. When you tend towards evil, following Dhammapada verse 1, the mind becomes evil. When you develop hatefulness, right view, right understanding, and tends towards wholesomeness, following Dhammapada verse 2, the mind becomes wholesome, virtuous, and beautiful. Just as water was washed away, just as water can wash away filth and dirt, the Dhamma can subdue habitual tendency and enable everyone's inherently wholesome nature, true mind and true nature to appear. Our inherent true nature is very beautiful, very pristine, fully aware. Due to physical restriction of its movement, there are different names and appearances for water, depending on the condition. It can be stream, spring, brooks, river, etc. Although the names and appearances are different, the fundamental nature of water is the same. The nature of the various kind of Dhamma, like the nature of the various form of water, does not differ. Though the appearance of water differ, all water can still clean. Similarly, all Dhamma water can always clean or wash away affliction and habitual tendency. Although it is used in this way in the description here, in fact, when we develop the cultivation, there is no such thing as Dhamma water washing away the filth, defilement, affliction, etc. It's the awakening of the mundane mind. The mundane mind realizes itself and awakens and ceases to be deluded. That wisdom is the one that liberates and frees the mundane mind. So here, water is just an analogy, and the reason why they use water is maybe it's easier for people to understand that water can cleanse. So in that sense, Dhamma is also like water, can wash away affliction and habitual tendencies. But when it comes to actual cultivation, it's not about water. It's about wisdom and understanding. So bear this in mind. So bear in mind that understanding is very important. Do not be gullible. Like reading the textbook here and becoming confused because the textbook says Dhamma water. But how come when I cultivate, I cannot find Dhamma water? So you will be doubly confused if you had that type of wrong view or delusion. What's the time now? Okay, we will stop here. 402, page 15. We will continue afterwards. We can have our half an hour of awareness based meditation before we continue. So we are at page 15. Last paragraph. Okay, we will now off the light so that you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Always remember, relax, maintain awareness, silence everything, don't try to know. Then develop the ability to be aware from within. This awareness-based meditation is mindfulness-based meditation. Okay. We will continue from page 15, lesson 35 of this sutra of infinite meaning. I will read on. We engage in spiritual practice precisely to wash away our affliction and conquer all the deep-rooted habitual tendencies. The water, as a new, is very difficult to root out habitual tendencies which are deep-rooted. Because it has been there for so long, eons and eons of birth and death, habitual tendencies, delusion, and tickets of views, opinions, conditioning, belief system, they are not easy to root out. To do that, you need Dhamma understanding. You need wisdom born of the direct seeing leading to the direct awakening. That is why you should read the Sabbasavak Sutta, Sutra on all the defilements of tin, Majjhika Nikaya 2, on knowing and seeing. According to Lord Buddha, the complete removal or eradication of asava can only happen in one who sees and one who knows, or one who knows and one who sees. It cannot or can never happen in one who does not see and does not know. That this is referring to the direct seeing and the awakening, the understanding. So to completely root out defilement, removal of asava, you need wisdom, nothing else. That aspect is very important. I will read on. We engage in spiritual practice precisely to wash away our affliction and conquer all the deep-rooted habitual tendencies that we have accumulated through our transmigration in the sixth rhyme. The sixth rhyme is often referred to the 31 plane of existence, or in the Mahayana tradition, the sixth rhyme of transmigration, Liu Tao Lun Hui, has happened for a very long period. That is why it is described as over aeons and aeons of cycles of birth and death, or samsara. Thus, we are like archaeologists digging out thousand-year-old of ruins, or stone and bronze tools from layers of sand and dust or dirt. This ancient artifact were not buried in the ground by humans. They were buried by nature's disasters or through the accumulation of sand and dirt over a long period of time. In the desert, the environment changes by seconds. The formation of sand shifts like ocean waves and tides. This is because a grain of sand is so tiny that it can be carried out, or it can be carried and spread by the wind. When there is a strong wind, sand from Mongolia desert can be blown to Beijing or even to Taiwan. So we can see the potential power of sand and dust. Habitual tendency are like sand and dust, which will continuously cover our own inner nature. Therefore, we must have firm resolve and perseverance to wash away all afflictions and habitual tendency. That's why you must take the resolve. Sorry, you must make the resolve and inspire or inspiration. The inspiration, the vows. Excuse me. The adhittana, and persevere with faith and sincerity to walk the path of Dhamma to cultivate. Otherwise, this spiritual path is not easy. Okay, I will read on. In life, because the mind is influenced by external temptation, this is very true. If you are a true cultivator, you will understand this. The mind is influenced by external phenomena that tempts you, that lure you. External temptation can lure the living being. They can cause you to attach, to cling, to grasp, and give meaning. It produces cravings, internal struggles, and other desires, all of which lead to creation of karma. That's why they have karmic implications and consequences. But in the end, we are still subject to the law of nature. That is why ultimately it is still the law of nature. All things have always been empty and still. So this physical existence will eventually come to an end. Yet the Buddha taught us that everything and every phenomena in the universe contain a wondrous intrinsic nature. Although the forms and appearances may differ, this intrinsic nature remains the same. Taking burning wood as an example. Did the wood ignite the fire or the fire ignite the wood? It's hard to draw a distinction because they are ultimately of the same essence. The Dhamma is truly inconceivable. Actually, wood is just wood. How do we know that it has the potential to produce fire? Even in ancient times, primitive men knew that they could ignite a fire by rubbing wood sticks together. So it is clear that humans inherently have wisdom. Wisdom is not something that only arises after hearing the Buddha's teaching. We all have this wisdom. So after the Buddha attained enlightenment, he simply hoped to guide sentient beings back to their inner nature. That is why you must realize your true mind, your true nature within. That's why he taught the Four Noble Truths and expounded the 12 links of cyclical existence, the law of dependent origination. That explains clearly how our mind functions. This Paticca-samuppada, or law of dependent origination, is very profound, very important. When you see this law clearly, you will awaken. Thus everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. And they are empty and still, ultimately. His purpose was always for us to penetrate the truth of life and thus form aspiration to actualize the six perfection or six parameters in all action so that we can enter and experience the true Dhamma. This is absolutely true. So for the purpose of the teaching, it's always for living beings to penetrate the truth of life, to see truth, to see reality, to awaken to the universal characteristic. And after that, you make aspiration to walk the bodhisattva way, to actualize the six perfection in all action, so that you can enter and experience the true Dhamma way. So these are all very beautiful descriptions of the teachings and the cultivation. Okay, we will go on to the next adapted verse. Pure water is like Dhamma. The Dhamma can conform to conditions and capabilities and distinguish between all things. Thus, we realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompasses all things. A stream, a river, a spring, or a well all have different names. The nature of their water is the same. It nourishes and eliminates defilement. However, the three dhammas, the four fruits, and tupa are not the same. So all these are very beautiful. Basically, the Dhamma is very beautiful. If you look at the word Dhamma, the understanding is it is the teachings of the Buddha. That is why we call it the Buddha Dhamma. But what is Dhamma? Dhamma is true. And truth are nature's law that governs life and existence. Whatever that can explain the way things are, it is the truth. That's why he taught us the Dhamma, the essential truth, the truth that we need to understand life. So Dhamma is especially important. Pure water is like Dhamma, hence the description is very appropriate. Then this Dhamma conforms to condition and capabilities and distinguish between all things. Thus, we realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompasses all things. This is a very beautiful description of Dhamma. Then I would like to add on. Maybe this is for your own understanding. In fact, we need Dhamma to have wisdom. We need Dhamma to develop wisdom, to develop understanding, so that we can understand life. We can understand who we are, what we are. Dhamma is like our spiritual solution or spiritual medicine that can help humanity or living beings overcome all the life problems. or situation. It can help us understand life and live life to the fullest, experience life to the fullest, and give meaning to life. So without Dhamma, suffering would be the result. Dhamma, if it is so important, why not cultivator or practitioner and Buddhists in general see the beauty and importance of Dhamma, then go all out to cultivate this Buddha Dhamma to develop the required understanding, wisdom, and the awakening, so that this Dhamma can be your spiritual medicine for you to develop a clear understanding of life and to recover from whatever life problem, affliction, suffering, and misery. The best solution is to awaken to the teachings of Dhamma. So Dhamma, if you can see the beauty of it, the importance of it, then you will resolve to cultivate and realize it or awaken to it, because it can be of great benefits to the living beings, especially human beings. It can bring about great transformation to the individual in the form of having mental clarity, understanding, wisdom, virtue, and transformation of our character and personality for the better. Then it will help us understand life, improve our life, and make us beautiful. Then we can become a blessing to all of humanity, environment, and nature. So this is the path on Dhamma that I wish all commentators can develop clear understanding. When we can appreciate Dhamma, we will throughout the day cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, develop the understanding, reflect, contemplate, silence our mind to perfect ourselves, to awaken as Dhamma is everywhere. When we can see Dhamma, you know, I read this again. When we can appreciate Dhamma, we will throughout the day cultivate this Buddha Dhamma, develop the understanding, reflect, contemplate, silence our mind to perfect that ourselves, to awaken to Dhamma, to awaken as Dhamma is everywhere. When you can see Dhamma, you see the Buddha. That's why the Buddha told the monk, he who sees me may not see the Dhamma, because that is only the physical form of Lord Buddha. But he who sees the Dhamma, the Buddha says, sees me. Because the Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue, which is the Dhamma. So what is Dhamma? Dhamma is his teaching. When you have it, and when you can realize it, you can become the Sammasambuddha. You can have the embodiment of wisdom and virtue and all the perfection that he had perfected. You can become Sammasambuddha, the omniscient one, who is fully enlightened, well known for his nine great virtues. That's why we chant the salutation to the Buddha. Iti peso bhagava arahang Sammasambuddho, and so on. So all these teachings point towards the beauty and importance of Dhamma. Do keep this in mind. Cherish the Buddha Dhamma, develop the faith sadha virya, then sincerely with faith persevere, cultivate to develop sati, stabilize it to become samadhi, so that all this spiritual faculty can be very stable. With sati and samadhi developed, wisdom will naturally arise. So these five spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, you must develop them until they become very, very stable, very powerful, unshakable, until they become balanced. I have helped you by putting it into the vows of the four page Bodhisattva vows, yellow card. If you go through it, you will find them, and it is also stated in our chanting book. It can help you make your aspiration until the spiritual faculty become unshakable through invoking the power of merits, etc. Okay, with this, maybe we can end our sharing and we will continue with the second session, where we will open for meditation reporting, Q&A, and Dhamma sharing on the topic Dhamma in daily life. Okay, maybe we will stop here. 3.2.4, mind must have no dwelling. So we are at page 21. So page 21 is where the real Dhamma starts. We will stop here. We will open up for meditation reporting.
I would like to take this opportunity again to thank all the calamiters for all their prayers for my sister. An update, my sister has woke up. But I think she has a long, difficult path ahead. It will now come to her willpower whether she wants to continue her life. On this earth, or she choose to live here. It is, I always wish her the best. At the same time, I would like to maybe take this opportunity to share with parameters. That is only when we go through difficulties in life that we'll see the true Dharma that we are called.
Very good.
The afflictions, the whatever that we suffer, especially emotionally, will show us the stage of cultivation that we are going through.
Sadhu, very good.
If we do not cultivate properly ahead of whatever may afflict us, we're going to suffer greatly.
Sister Alicia said, without the understanding of the Dhamma, especially the Four Noble Truths when it's returning, you cannot confront the First Noble Truth reality of dukkha. So affliction is very real. That's why you have this ability to comprehend, is because you have penetrated the Dhamma. Then when you are being tested, especially your sister's condition, you see very clearly, because for you are not married, and your closest people are your own sister or your siblings and your niece, of course. So all this you will understand very clearly. That's why you can have the understanding to have the resolve to share, and you have the appreciation of what people has done to help your sister recover, because that operation is not easy. Actually, that one, I have one sister who was given away to somebody since I think a few days after birth. Then later on, she managed to reconnect back and came back to us, and we became quite close again. Then she was happily married and everything. Then she got 4 or 5 children, I forgot already. Then because of karmic, something happened to the husband. The husband was the eldest son, head of the family, who was supposed to inherit the business. Then the husband somehow made a very fundamental, severe judgment in business. I think was scammed by a very, very, I should say, a very cunning scammer. So he get into trouble, and because of that cash flow problem, and the business was affected. Then the other brothers and sisters blame him. And because of that, my sister, who has been having good life and married to him for 10 over years, became like affected. Then my brother-in-law cannot take that noble truth reality, went into depression, then suffered stroke. Then finally, I think after the second or third time, he passed away. At that time, he was quite young. My sister, my younger sister that my parent gave away, also quite young at that time. But the children are not that young anymore, except there are gaps between them. The eldest one is about going to college. The youngest is still in, I think, secondary school or primary school. I forgot already. Then life was not easy. That's why. So luckily, I was able to talk to my sister. And she turned around and came back. Her life became beautiful. Then until when all the children grew up and the eldest one also working already, when he was going through the good life, you know what happened? Karma is such, cannot escape. He had the same problem as what your sister went through. But that time we didn't know that there is such thing as this brain thing. She also complained about headache. Then like severe headache. My sister very strong, I know. She's the youngest in the family. So at that time, I remember, we also don't know what it was. So my sister, who is a nurse, and all that, so took her down from Alastair to actually KL to do the CT scan. So that hospital that did the CT scan was not sure what it is. They were having discussion. Then don't know what happened. They say they will come back to my sister in a few days. But within the next few days, when my sister went back to Alastair, she passed away. Just like that. That's why it's not easy. That thing was very traumatic. But luckily, she has good karma. She came and see me before that to arrange a lot of things for the children. Even the investment account and other things. Then she was full of joy, then succumbed to this. That's how they come to karmic. They have to confront. But she at least had the understanding. So when she was with me just before she went back, although she suffered that thing, I can see her happiness and her joy. But then karma is such. That's why I agree with what you share, which is very beautiful. And I saw all this too. That's why I said, for your sister's case, it's very lucky that she pulled through and able to get a slot to do the surgery. Then finally, she woke up. But the path to recovery depends on the individual karma and the condition behind. The other case was my elder brother's son, eldest son. Well, surprisingly, he got a stroke. He was in a shop, I think. The shop owner knows him, sent him to one of the private hospital. Then the private hospital sent out the SOS. So finally, he landed in Sunway. And that doctor, who was very good, operated on him. And the operation was very complicated. Luckily, he got insurance. The total cost was almost 200 plus to 300,000, almost the insured sum. But he was hospitalized for about 2 months plus. And he recovered. He recovered. But it took him 6 to 9 months to fully recover, to be able to walk properly and drive again. That one was very lucky. He got no severe complication of memory or anything. When the operation was through, the doctor also said it depends, is it touch wood. But luckily, the first thing after he regained consciousness, he can remember who the father and the mother was. Then his memory came back. But the doctor advised you cannot drive, and he cannot walk properly. He need like a child, he need to learn a lot of things again. Well, a certain part of the brain was affected. So it depends. But now he is sort of fully recovered. And that was already like 2-3 years ago. But my sister, the younger sister one, is already, I think easily 6 or 7 years ago. That one is quite long ago. So all this is part and parcel of life and reality of life. You should be able to see all this because you are a very good Dhamma practitioner and cultivator. So most of us who has the Dhamma can see all this now and can have the understanding. That's why we can confront them. We can advise people. But at that time, we don't have such understanding. That's why we don't see the agency and all those things. If I knew about this, I would have advised her to go to another private hospital and have a second opinion and do up the thing fast. But we did know. We did know that all this can be so fast and so severe, especially brain. And people complain about having headache and brain and severe headache, not the normal headache. We have to be careful. And those private hospitals who have experience, they will straight away do a CT scan. I think like your sister case, luckily they do the CT scan. Then they located it and they send out the SOS. Then you located the hospital with the OT available and the slot. That's why you go for it, which is very, very beautiful. That's why you requested us, Kayamita, to help. And we do our part. Then at least now your sister became conscious and recovered from that operation. But like you said, to get back her life, depend on herself. See whether how strong her determination and all this thing is. They have to actually go through that phase. And everything behind is coming and the conditioning. So for your case, you can understand all this and see all this. It's very beautiful. Salute to you, Fiji. Okay, you can continue. Yeah, Fiji. Yeah.
Yeah, brother, karmic debt must be very must be very heavy for right. her. Yeah, right. For her to face this. Yes. But you see, as Dhamma practitioner, when we can see and understand this, so our present life is actually to do whatever good we can in this life. And to mitigate whatever unwholesomeness that we have done in our previous lives.
Because we know how to actually arise the causes and conditions, ask for forgiveness, then invoke our merits, turn around, and how to resolve all this amicably. That's why everything is in the Bodhisattva vows card, the fourth page is all there. So as cultivator, we have this extra understanding that can help us mitigate all this. And you use the word very aptly to mitigate all this. And this is why life is very beautiful when you have the Dhamma. When you don't have the Dhamma, you don't know what is going on. In fact, a lot of human beings or living beings, they suffer without knowing why they suffer. And without Dhamma, life is full of affliction, suffering, and misery. Just like what Sister Alicia shared with us earlier, which she saw for many years when she was in depression. Then later on, she saw other people. So for you, same, PJ, you can see all this.
My reaction to this situation actually was so much better than I expected.
Yeah.
in early August, a friend of mine passed away suddenly, and I couldn't take it, Bertil. I was so sad, you know, so affected, you know. Every time I hear his name or whatever, I will tear up very hard. Actually, I was very surprised that my sister's case been so severe.
Yeah.
And
you can handle it very well.
I can handle it so much better.
Of the Dhamma, there your last 2 months to 3 months, that understanding actually helped you a lot, transform your understanding. to have the ability to confront and face all this reality, then through the understanding, you can actually understand all this very differently. That's why the cultivator of the Dhamma will know the form and mind who has the Dhamma will have the understanding, and they know how to attend to things. They know how to confront the reality. Then they don't know, they will know how to echo and flow and move and do what they have to do. Then they will appreciate life more and more. Then they will thank their good karmic nature, their good understanding. Yeah, PJ, you can continue. Yeah.
The level of acceptance that this has happened, and you know, it's like everything is condition arising.
Yeah. Very good.
If we cannot accept this, then we are going to suffer a lot.
Yeah, correct. Very good. Level of acceptance is different now.
The level of acceptance, because we that's why I when I spoke to my niece, I said, I think both of us are lucky enough that we have the Dharma understanding that we can accept that if she choose to leave,
no problem.
It's
the choice.
If she cannot take the suffering and the difficulty anymore, then I will wish her the best.
Yes.
For a better life.
Yes, correct. Because that is what life is all about. Existence is all about. It's just like when my father, at the later part of his life, when he was hospitalized, he never get hospitalized before earlier on, except the ulcer incident when he was quite young, 38 years old. But after that, he lived a good life only until almost 80 plus. Then only he started to have some problem with his diabetic, his heart, his lung, and all those things. Then he was admitted. Then during that time, I visited him quite often. And every time I visited him, I asked him, "How are you?" He always tell me, he said, "This is terrible." I said, "Why?" He said, "All the doctor," he's a Chinese sensei, he know. He said, "Everyone that come and diagnose him will give him antibiotic, and also that the don't know what the hell drugs." Also, he feel that no point because he's taking too much of all this. Then he know. He said he actually would prefer to like go home. Then I checked with my sister, who was earlier he was a staff nurse. Then he studied graduate nursing, developed the ability to start out the school of nursing. Then she had her master and PhD. So she went and approached the doctors, the specialists, and have the result, the review. Then we realized, according to the doctor, 70% of his organ has failed. Then I told my sister, we have to make a decision. So I went with my brothers to ask my father, "And what is it one that you want to do?" Yeah. And the first thing he told us, he said, "You want to go out and eat some laksa." Oh, I said, "Okay, we will take you out." Oh, we all arranged the wheelchair. That's right. And we can see the joy in him, the happiness in him, instead of staying in the hospital. Then after that, I told my sister, discharge him. No point, man. He wants to go home. And he wants to go back to Alastair. So I drove him all the way back to Alastair with my sister. Then in Alastair, I arranged with my brothers. They all said, he liked this hospital in Penang, Adventist Hospital. Yeah, when he was 35 years old, he went through life and death. And he was saved by one of the British doctors, specialists in the Adventist Hospital. He got ulcer that time, very severe, during Chinese New Year, remember. Then he liked the hospital. He keep on telling me one day, he said he wants to make offering and donation to the hospital. That's why we did. And we admitted him, and he was so happy. Not long after that, maybe within the next 5 days, After he was admitted, he passed away because the doctor also did a blood test, everything, and confirmed what the other hospital in KL confirmed. Most of the organ, his organ is already very severely damaged. So asked us to get ready. Yeah. So we accepted that reality. And I told my brothers and sisters, you know, so they all take turn in our star to monitor him because I had to come back. So when I reached PJ, I think the next 2 days or what, we received the news that he is about to go. And he knows, so he knows. My eldest brother's son at that time, the older son, he turned to look after my father. And my father just talked to him, is it? Go and call your father and all your the father's brother and sister come quickly. He said, I got not much time left. Oh, my father knew. Then by the time they reached there the evening, my father passed away peacefully. That's why we had the funeral, everything. So this reality is what you will understand. Like your case, you know, let your sister decide if he choose to what. Let her make the decision, because life is not like what we think. It's not to say, oh, you should do all you can, make sure they survive. But I saw how my father suffered. What for? My father himself told me that it was terrible inside there. Well, every day, he cannot eat the food there. And there is no appetite because of the antibiotics. And then my mother prepared all the good, we call it the nutritious and good food, and all those things. All the good food. My father got no appetite. And my mom was in tears. They said, I don't want to end up like my husband. They said. That's why my mother, after that, my mother survived another 9 years after that, because they were almost the same year of the ox. So my mother ate whatever he want. I said, no need to worry. My mother that time also got heart problem, diabetes or what. But I say, at this age, you want to eat what you eat. Wow, he liked the tuka, the pork. And we take her to Thailand, to Hap Chai and Bangkok, then the restaurant. And she ordered. And you see the joy in her. Is it? He don't want to end up like my father in the hospital, cannot eat anything. My mother was better off because he lived until the last day. You know. Then he told my brother, he said, he can't make it already. He know already. He's about to go. Then my brother called me, youngest one. I said, admit him specialist center. So that night in the ICU, they look after her. Then she passed away peacefully. Then the doctor did a test. All the organ failed. So all these are very beautiful. And my grandmother also know. 2-3 months before she died, she know. She prepared everything. Yeah. That one also something else. That's why all this reality, I saw them when I was young. Then later on, I witnessed what happened to my parents. Then I also had the experience of so much of this reality of the first noble truth and the Dhamma when I started come out to share and teach from the year 2004 until now. Then I reflected on life, how my classmates, my friends, childhood friends, and also later on when I grew up, my family members, everything, then everybody that I have relationship with, including Dhamma friends who came from all walks of life, that I really don't know them except some of my classmates in uni. And the rest are actually people whom I not supposed to know, but somehow they come through affinity with the triple gem, the Dhamma condition, everything, and they come. And that's how my nature expanded on the understanding, the experience, then the cultivation, the transformation. So all this will help us as cultivator. So for your case, it's similar. You will go through this path and you will develop a lot of understanding, which is very beautiful. Sadhu to you, huh? PG. Very good understanding, Sadhu. You can continue.
Yeah, Virgil. One day when I was doing the Bodhisattva vows, when I was doing the part asking for forgiveness from all beings, when I was doing that, oh, my heart really stirred, Virgil, oh, cry.
Sorry. Sorry, yeah.
And after that, I can feel like the burden was lifted from my
shoulders. Yeah, you can like, feel the understanding. Feel
that, yeah.
The understanding free.
Yeah.
And there will be a lot of joy inside there.
So subsequently, I decided to do asking for forgiveness on behalf of my sister.
Oh, sadhu, yes.
I think that would help her because whatever she can't do in this lifetime, I think out of my love for her, I would willingly do that for her.
Yes, and, because of affinity, there is condition. You have to be siblings or related. Then you do on behalf, very powerful. Even sister-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, or whatever, it can be done. But there must be relationship, affinity. Otherwise, the effect is not so strong. It can be done, sadhu.
Because I feel that other than sharing of my merits with her for her recovery, I think this is one part that
this is one part has, that will help her.
This is something that will help her in her future lives. As we know that if the karmic obstruction is not taken care of, or like Brother Tio always says, karmic obstruction to be harm and or lessen, this can carry on to future lives.
Correct.
I think that will be quite terrible to think.
Yes,
about.
Then they cannot have the condition to meet up with the true Dhamma because of those karmic obstruction. And a lot of this karmic thing, they will obstruct your path. So if you don't have those understanding to break and clear the karmic obstruction, then it's not easy to encounter the Buddha Dhamma, to have the causes and conditions to meet up with the Triple Gem and to walk this path of Dhamma. Yeah, it's true. Then you have your nature, your understanding, your way. Then you can also make aspiration. Once you are able to realize all this, you vow to take all your siblings or whoever you have conditioned with across. So that can be the initial additional vow that you make. Then later on, it will cover all beings. That's why for me, my nature take the addition of vow of whomsoever that come as food for my mind or nature to take or consume every life when it come. This nature of my vow to take them all across, because this is one of the understanding that the nature will evolve. So for your case, you can make that additional vow if you want to. Not only on their behalf, ask for forgiveness, you move one step further by vow to take them all across when the time comes, when you have the ability to fulfill your Bodhisattva vow and perfection and parami. So all this can be incorporated.
We were advised as family, so myself and my niece have been chanting the Heart Sutra.
Oh, sadhu. That one will be very good.
Of course, I have to go and look up for the English version.
Hanyi, pinyin. But now the pinyin is there.
No, brother. I cannot chant the Hanyi pinyin. I may even say the wrong words. I think that will be worse. I look for the English version, meaning the one from Thich Nhat Hanh, it's really in English. I think it's quite.
But the Xuan Hua one is very accurate. Xuan Hua.
This one, because they were doing the chanting, so I just follow them.
You follow their rhythm.
Yeah.
But the English translation, the Xuanhua one, is very accurate. The Master Xuanhua, City of 10,000 Buddhas, and that one is very accurate.
I feel that the chanting is very powerful, Virgil.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
You can sense it because Kuan Yin's nature is very powerful. Those who have faith in Kuan Yin, there is a special movement that can arise when your faith is very strong because of Kuan Yin's vow. Whomsoever call upon the name of Fo Hao, there will be a response according to your faith, your understanding, and all those things. That's why you will manifest. And Kuan Yin is a very unique being, full of wisdom, loving kindness, and compassion. And she is really, really compassionate. That's why he has the Maha Karuna Sutta, that chanting. All the 88 manifestation, 84 manifestation, all the names that he took during the 84 manifestation, he combined them and formed the Maha Karuna mantra. They call it Da Bei Zhou mantra, Great Compassionate Mantra. The Great Compassionate Mantra is a very powerful mantra. That's why they keep on chanting. So your Heart Sutta is different. The Heart Sutta is on that teaching. So whichever also can. Even you chant the Fo Hao, Om Mani Padme Hum is also okay. Om Mani Padme Hum. It's also okay. And all this will have its efficacy and effect.
Actually, for the Maha Karuna, I chant it in the morning section.
Oh, okay. No problem.
I chant a few times. And then the Heart Sutra, I chant it at night. Otherwise, my religious routine will drag on too
long. It will be too long.
It's already like 40, 45 minutes.
That's why you can modify it. Yeah, this period is for your sister. You no need to develop so long. You can just whenever you feel like doing it, you do it. But at the retreat, normally we will chant them. At the retreat, there are conditions. And all this can happen. For the past so many annual retreat that we have developed at the San Pao Si, Cameron Highland, we know because almost every year of that, we had the special request for those chanting. And those chanting were very beautiful. Very, very powerful. So during the environment and the condition at that time, the nature's condition will fall into place. And because of what happened during the collective consciousness evolution and also the retreats, great beings, nature, and the setting, everything, they will all fall into place. Then all this will surface. That's why the retreat condition is very unique. That 8 or 9 days is very beautiful. Sometimes even 5 days is enough. So let's hope the next one. I think next year got chance. Hopefully. Because they are opening up already. I was told international travel, maybe end of the year or latest. Beginning of interstate is coming. Open already,
Bratio.
Open already, yeah.
Today announced.
Tomorrow effective. Sadio. good. So more and more wholesome things are happening. So maybe not long, we can maybe have our class back. I don't know. You have to wait for the SOP. Is it phase 4 where we can return to normal? Is it fast? We are now in phase 3, is it?
Yeah, phase three. I think Selangor still quite high.
Yeah. But is it phase four you can return to like before?
Not very sure.
We'll see how it goes. Anyway, still need to be careful, tactful. But according to Singapore, the Lee Hsien Loong speech is very good. He said, we must not fear this COVID thing. We have to learn to live with it. It will become like another normal disease, which is, he used the word what? Where we can manage. You can even recover from home. Yeah. Pandemic.
Endemic. But Singapore's case has gone up very high today. Very high.
No, that one is not an issue, is it? Because 98 to 99% asymptomatic or low symptom. Then now they have this drug, the pill to treat the severe one. So according to them, they are going to open up further, and now they want to free the hospital facility. That's why they don't want the thing to like suddenly surge. They try to still cap. But most of these cases are non-serious one. So you have to listen to the speech by Lee Hsien Loong. Very good. He said we have to overcome that fear factor of what COVID is and learn how to manage COVID in a different way, with a different mindset. So all these are very important. So you read them, actually it's nothing serious. You got some medicine to deal with all this. According to them, it is like a normal flu or whatever. So if all this can actually happen, then that disease is no more a pandemic. It will become an endemic. Then slowly, it will be accepted as a new normal in our daily life. We see how it goes. So things will, I think, evolve and stabilize. But the SOP, everything, they still have to manage. That's why according to a lot of countries now, they say the self-test is very important. You can do the self-test. They say once you test the positive, stay at home, quarantine, so that the spread is reduced. Then the hospital facility will not be like overburdened. Then things can return back to normal. But if you don't have the self-test kit, then this one can still be bad. Like the cases you say, is still climbing. Climbing is because those tested positive is still climbing. But most of them has become asymptomatic or with hardly any symptom, very little symptom. So the outlook is good. It can actually be treated. Even US is deciding on that direction. Never mind, we just let things be and see how it evolves. Then we will accord and flow. So anyway, it's a good news for everyone. Let us rejoice. Okay, BJ, you continue here.
Bertil, maybe I share a little bit about my meditation.
Yes, that will be good.
Normally I do my meditation at night. Or sometimes in the daytime when I have the opportunity. There was one night when I did it actually in bed itself before I went.
Yes.
So actually it was quite fast for me to reach that stage where I, because my body went very still already.
Yeah. For you it's very easy already.
It become very still very fast. And then suddenly I was aware like all the thoughts coming in, coming out. And I just bring my awareness to the words itself. As I become aware of the words, something very funny happened, Brantio.
What happened?
the words cannot complete.
Very it's good, like Sadhu.
It's just like the hot air release soup.
Sahadu.
The word cannot finish.
Yes. Because you are passing through that phase where the nature is starting to transform your awareness vibration, become more and more fine and more stable through the unisop manasikara understanding, the stability. So once this happens, the words loses its effect. It's like the images all loses. It is something like you cannot hold on to thing, and the word loses its image. It's like you understand that word, not that image anymore. Means that real thing. Yeah. Like you mentioned, the word you use is like loses is what you mentioned something just now. Exactly. That is the way it will happen. That's why cultivator go through all this. People don't know one. Only cultivator will know. Salute to you, PG. Yeah, you continue to describe it. Yes. That will happen. Yeah.
Then when I was aware of it the first time, I said, hey, that's curious. Okay.
Yeah.
And I do it a few times and it was very, very funny to see.
Yeah, very amazing. Yeah. Never happened before. Because the human being who grasps that word strong, that word can condition the emotion. Now, you try to grasp at that thing, although it cannot happen already. So how is it going to affect you? You will start to experience all this. But always remember, this is when you are in a meditative state. Understand? That's why this thing can happen. It's for you to see, to awaken, to understand. But when you are back to daily life, don't expect this thing to happen. Because when you are back to daily life, the mundane mind start again. Then they will move again. So when the mundane mind move, because of your wisdom, you will start to understand why the habitual tendency that last time you have or human being carry, you have the ability with that wisdom and the understanding to weaken it. To weaken it. Then you realize the habitual tendency is not so strong as before. Then later on, one day, it becomes less and less. And then suddenly one day you realize, hey, no more. It cannot disturb you anymore. It cannot cause anything to you anymore. You not only cannot cross or cannot what. It just the way it is, because the understanding is so powerful that phenomenal world got no more meaning. No. Then that instantaneous, spontaneous, yoniso manasakara, very fast. Rupang anicang, pew, gone already. Nothing already. Rupang anatta. Then dhamma anatta. Then sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang. All become very fast, very powerful. And it just clear everything. Then later on, the word also no more. All this dhamma also no need to arise. It just understand. The nature just understand. And the thing cannot move anymore. That's why all this rooting out of defilement, the asavang and all things, the process that happened through the meditative understanding and the awakening is so different. Most people use Dhamma knowledge. They cannot understand. Then they interpret the teaching. Then they talk about the jnana and all those things, the 16 stages of insight. They go through all this. But the real happening is not like that. Of course, the description is there, but the real happening is completely different. Just like what I explained, the Dhamma sharing just now, which the sutra infinite meaning, he used certain example like the nature get defiled. But actually, the nature cannot get defiled. You will understand one. Because the mundane mind gets defiled, but the true mind cannot get defiled. That nature is always there. Except it can be clouded. Means when the delusion, the wrong view, the sakkaya ditti, the mundane mind can cloud their nature, then the awareness nature cannot shine forth. But the nature never get defiled. And all this you will understand. But people who don't understand, they are being like conditioned by the Dhamma, the what we call Dhamma knowledge. Then they simply use all these words and they contradict themselves. So those who know, they will understand. In reality, it's not like that. Like I gave the example, they say Dhamma water. purified, clear affection. But when you actually cultivate, there is no water at all, no Dhamma water, it's only wisdom, they're free. That's why all this understanding, as you go through the cultivation, you will understand. And it's not what people think. The analogy, example that people give is not accurate really, not appropriate really. But for the purpose of sharing and teaching, they have to use this because it's easier for the cultivator or practitioner to understand the analogy. Because these are mundane examples which are very appropriate. Water dissolve and clear. We need to wash clothes, all the dirty clothes. Water can actually cleanse and clear. So because of that, they use all this. But as a cultivator, you go through the transformation, you know there is no such thing as Dhamma water. Dhamma water is an analogy, a skillful means to explain all this. But the real happening is different. So like you go through now that transformation, that mind, which is the meditative mind, in stillness, silent, and in a meditative state, you start to experience and see all this, which is very good. The words, like, it doesn't have any potency or power over you anymore. It just like suddenly just like gone. So all this are very beautiful. Sadhu, Vijay, yes. Continue, yeah, you continue.
Yeah, Bertil, you know that I have this problem of insomnia. I normally can't. I nowadays I feel that with all my chanting and all that, I normally do before I sleep.
Yeah.
I can now sleep straight about five hours.
Yeah.
Very deep sleep, right?
Yeah, sadhu. That's why hardly any thought. Yeah, that is what a cultivator is. You have the ability. You're most of the time you're at the heart and it's quiet still. And that meditative mind hardly think or move or create any. There will be some subconscious or unconscious release, which is actually to help you clear all this. Then the brain will transform. A lot of things will happen. Sadhu, you will start to see all this. Very good.
Nowadays, in the daytime, I can see that we so much more mindful, Bertil.
Yeah, your awareness is at a different level already. The clarity is different already.
If I choose to be very aware,
straight away
I can feel the whole body vibrate.
Then you become very sensitive.
Very easily nowadays.
Yes, so you will go through all this phase. Sadhu, very good.
So when I do whatever work at the home, I find that it's very different.
Yeah, and, very different.
Bratio, now I'm having conversation with my aunts in the kitchen.
Yeah, Sadhu, all this can happen,
I always tell them, can you please not come here?
And they listen to you. They will listen to you.
Because every morning I will clean my countertop. And every time I have to look out, where are the ants? Before I start to clean them.
Yeah, and, because of that mind which is different, that love and compassion, that awareness. So it can actually give rise to this type of pure mind. Pure energy, and the ants and all these creatures, they can feel, they know. Then, like Dhamma, it show it to you that these are possible. But it will come to pass. Always remember, part of the way, part of the cultivation. Don't expect this to be always with you. Like you can perform psychic. No, when it's over, it's over. Forget about it. It's part of the way. But we are not to attached, cling to this special ability, then it will actually cause deviation in the cultivation. There, the cultivation is to understand, finish, that's it. Not to hold on to all this understanding and create special ability. No, that one will cause deviation. That's why the subtle ego will come back. But for us who understand, we will know. We will go through. That's why I always told Brother Song, always part of the way. Whatever happens, it's for you to understand, awaken, see, then develop the understanding and move. Yeah. Then do not hold on to anything. Whatever happened is already gone. The past is already gone. Future yet to come. Moment to moment, life passes by. We just live, evolve, move. Then everything will fall into place. The understanding, the experience, the beautiful Dhamma, all will be the living Dhamma within the moment. So when all this happens, the form and mind that go through this transformation and understanding will be very different. That's why later on, when you are ready, when you have the stability and the understanding, when you come out to share, it's different for you again. Because with that understanding, you can share from that level. So all this is very beautiful part of the way. And my nature rejoices. At least there are Kayamita who can actually develop all this. So sadhu to you all, PJ.
Yeah, Bracho, I am very, very thankful for my affinity with all the great Buddhas and
Buddhas.
And with that, I want to share one little experience that I had. You know, my last sharing, I mentioned about the Chunti Pusa.
Ah, yes, Chunti, yes.
Yeah. So subsequently, Miss Lee sent to me the Maha Chunti.
Dharani. 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 Chunti.
So,
Maha Chunti Dharani.
Yeah. So later in the night, Sister Suyi also sent me another one.
Oh, sadhu, yeah.
So because that day, I was very busy, so I left it. And after the chanting and all my religious routine and all that, it was almost 12 o'clock at night. But I couldn't sleep just yet. So I said, okay, go and listen to the mantra. I opened up the WhatsApp, the first one I came across was Sister Suyi's one. Since I get this one first, I will listen to it. So I decided to play it. And so it started with the music. And when the first words came, Brad Peel, I cried. Wow, really cry at that one.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. So I say, okay. After I clean up and all that, so I say, okay, because the mantra is 108 times.
I
decided to say, okay.
Means you have good affinity with Chunti Pusa. Yeah, sadhu.
So I say, okay, listen, complete the whole thing. Yeah. So I decided to do my lying down meditation.
Oh, sadhu.
Bradio, God knows what went through.
Yeah, you were going.
Yeah, all sort of things happening to the body.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
And towards the end of it, it was so funny. It's like the mind, my mind like suddenly changed, and it's like it wake up. Then only I realized, oh, the mantra is ending. The awareness can know that the mantra is ending.
Yeah, it will know. Even what time to wake up also, it know. When you are aware again, the awareness can make you understand that very likely is going to be dawn. That's why I will know 6 o'clock already, or six something already. Then the light from the window, even that time, normal people cannot perceive it, it's still quite dark. But I know the sun's ray has actually started to penetrate. But it is still quite dark. Then I check the clock, exactly 6 or something, which is always correct. And your nature will know. That's why you will have good sleep for that few hours. Most of the time, later on, after you have cultivated for a while, you want to maintain that awareness, you can go into the sleep. You can try that phase. That phase also will be very beautiful. Then you can see the subconscious release, the unconscious release, and how people dream. And all this you can understand. That's why the mundane mind, the true mind, the silent mind, all this nature, all you will start to develop real understanding. And this type of meditation, normal people cannot go in. You cannot do that trust. You cannot link and connect to that nature. You cannot do. All this that I'm discussing with you, normal people cannot do. They can't even touch it. So that's why it's very beautiful. That's why when you have affinity with great beings, when you connect back to your past, you become very different. You move very fast. Sadhu to you, PG.
That was quite an experience. It's one hour of chanting that one.
Yeah, sadhu. You should thank Sister Lee and Sui for that.
Yeah.
It's meant to be.
That I think I will end my sharing.
Sadhu. Thank you so much for the good sharing.
Everybody.
Evening. Let us rejoice. Sadhu.